Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, as we continue on, around verse 21. Here it says, He's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not in this world, but also in that which is to come. Okay, Jesus Christ set a standard as a record for our faith by which the angels initiate grace for. They're initiating the grace that we can be empowered to follow this record and be rewarded for choices of faith. When he says far above all principality and power, which means everything, all the inspiration will come from his headship, from his government. And all angels will now confirm this new pattern. They will not confirm Moses any longer. They will not confirm tithing, Sabbath observation, the ingesting of meats or drinks, okay, divers washings, okay, as the Apostle Paul brings out in Colossians, okay, as he also brings out, touch not, taste not, handle not. So the angel of the Lord, okay, only communicates and confirms, okay, this one pattern, this one record, which by communicating this, okay, will not affirm the aspiration of Adam, okay, and which tools death cannot enter into nor be concealed in. Which Jesus says, for the prince of this world comes and has nothing in me. So Jesus, being the true record, okay, and Adam's signature is the false record. Okay, so the Spirit only confirms the true record for faith and rewards those choices with his grace. Okay, so that by these rewardings through each cycle of your growth, okay, you continue to be a fruit bearer into the kingdom of God, as you're being prepared for that inheritance by which is predestined, okay, for those of faith. So we see also he's above all principality and power, or the authorities, okay, or the archons, okay, or powers. Okay, so we can see these are powers, right? When he talks about powers right here, he's talking about those angels, okay, which restrict the movements of demons. Because if they did not restrict the movements of demons, okay, Satan would have eradicated all living things within the world within 1 hour. Okay, and that's what the powers are for. Okay, that's one of the things that they do, okay, is restrict demonic movement, because okay, they cannot officiate over anything unless God permits it. Okay, as Jesus made this known to Peter, for the prince of this world, or Satan desires to have you. Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you, that your faith fail not. So we can see that even the adversary at this point in time, as he did 2,000 years earlier, okay, in the book of Job, okay, where Satan had to ask permission of God in order to initiate any kind of activity. Okay, so all the activity that is displayed by Satan is by the permission of God for the purpose of choice and the reward of those of faith. So far above all principality, which has to do with those of authorities and powers and might and dominion. Okay, the dominions, okay, are those which work as officiating over world events. Okay, as the powers are also restrictive, and the principalities and or authorities. Okay, as they also guide, or in archons, as he also guide the sun and the moon and the stars, and are in charge of the seasons. Okay, they make sure that the seasons follow the due pattern of God. Okay, so that if and when Jesus initiates a judgment, when you see the book of Revelation, the principalities and the powers, okay, respond accordingly as the dominions. We see the dominions at work, okay, exercising judgment upon those which are attacking Jerusalem, okay, whereas they're exercising judgment, casting fire down upon the enemies of faith. Okay, we see also the principalities moving the environment when the sun and the moon, okay, and the stars fall from heaven. When the sun turns the darkness and the moon into blood at the beginning of the tribulation, and at the end of the tribulation, when the sun turns the darkness and the moon refuses her the shining of her light, as also the stars of heaven withdrawing their light. Okay. So you have the principalities, you see how their activity is officiated by God's command, and the powers, okay, how they're also restrictive when they cast out of heaven Satan and his demons. And I saw Michael and his angels fight with the dragon, and the dragon and his angels war with Michael the archangel, and they were cast out of heaven. There's your powers and activity there. So you see your principalities and your powers, okay, and your might. Okay, also these are also angels, archangels, and other angels. Okay, archangels which work with all living things. Okay, as officiating over their signature. Okay, and also making known the revelation of God. We can see archangels doing that. Okay, at the when they were engaging with announcing certain births. Okay, that was an archangel, or communicating the word of the Lord, as concerning Gideon, an angel appeared to him. That was a that was an angel, okay, an archangel. Okay, as also Manoah and his Manoah's wife, okay, Samson's parents, okay, an angel in that incident. Okay, as appearing to Joshua, okay, we see an archangel there with a sword drawn in his hand. Okay, or as an angel with another sword drawn in his hand, smiting the city of Jerusalem. Okay, and also defeating the enemies of Israel. Okay, so we see the minions and the archangels which are appointed over them, okay, as the angels of every station in heaven, okay, and all the thrones from the lowest of the heavens to the highest of the heavens, being the 10th heaven. And there's even more than that, but the throne of God rests from the 7th to the 10th heaven. All right, and then we have the dominions, we talked about that. And then he says here, Paul, which understanding the angels, their places, and their activities, okay, also brings to our attention every name that is named, okay, which has to do with the 8 great princes. Okay, all the angels of heaven are subject unto his authority. And we can see this transpired when Enoch was brought up into the 7th heaven. Okay, and the angels were informed by the Lord, okay, that this one person right here, he found only to be faithful to him, and that he would be put into a position of authority over the princes of heaven, okay, the cherubim, the seraphim, see, and the thrones, okay, and the 8 great princes which have no peer. Okay, this right here gives us a preview, okay, of that which is to come. And yet that which was assigned to Enoch as being put in the robes of the Lord and granted 70 names as the names of his Lord, okay, and authority over many angels, okay, which the Apostle Paul brings out, okay, and and a new name, which many names. Okay, so he's above every name. Now, all the angels work with that authority. So when he says the word name right here, above every name, his kingdom is superior, okay, because it's by the oath of the Lord that everything is sustained, okay, and the oath of the Lord, by the word of the Lord, and by the voice of the Lord. Okay, wherein everything is where everything has been authorized, where things were initiated, and where all things are sustained. We see that in the oath of the Lord, the voice of the Lord, and the word of the Lord, okay, as it says in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, and every name that is named over all kingdoms, okay, not only this world but also in that which is to come, okay, and which even up to even that in the third covenant, okay, when God initiates a new plan, when the plan which he is presently presenting to us comes to its close, God is going to initiate a new plan, which whereas we'll be participating in, okay, when the holy in the holy city, New Jerusalem, when it comes down into this dimension. So here in verse 22, he has put all things under his feet. Okay, literally, all things are under his feet, including this universe. Okay, the universe is under his feet. He has put all things under his feet. And of course, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Okay, and that's when death is removed, okay, during the 10th week. Okay, because its usefulness has been exhausted, okay, and death and hell be cast in the lake of fire. Okay, they also be put in the lake of fire, so that they're going to continue their work there. In a place of darkness, their work is only profitable for them in the place of darkness, and that's what Jesus spoke of. Those that don't believe on him should be cast in outer darkness. Now, outer darkness is where Satan's going to be cast, and hell's going to be cast, and death is going to be cast. Because okay, all of them work for one thing, okay, as providing the obstacles, the deceptions, okay, and also the punishments, okay, for the sinners. Okay, and sinners will be cast out in our darkness with them, which is a sealed dimension. Okay, it's a sealed dimension. Now that dimension being sealed, which means it cannot be resourced, nor can it be found. It'd be impossible to find that. It'd be like trying to find something the size of the head of a pin, okay, on a beach, okay, or in the middle of the ocean. That's a sealed dimension. All right, in verse 22, and has put all things under his feet, okay, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, okay, being a new system. Now the word head right there has to do with as being the crown and king, okay, supreme authority, crown and king. Now, all things to the church has to do with what he is initiating for the growth of the church. Okay, as having the key of David, giving new direction, establishing a new temple in the hearts of all those that believe. Okay, and also the individual work, the universal work of the individual work and universal work. Okay, which has to do with the body of Christ. Okay, which he says right here, which is his body. Okay, individually. Okay, not violating your own sovereignty, okay, but challenging, okay, and working in each temple, okay, separately, and then also universally, whereas this is where the priesthood is initiated, okay, which is his body, the fullness of him. Okay, the body at this present time is carrying his fullness, no longer in portion. If it was in portion, then it'd be in carnal things, and all carnal things are perishable. Anything that's marked by time or comes from the soil is a perishable, right? Because it has its expiration date. Its expiration date, of course, is when God destroys this system, okay? Because he's going to destroy this earth and the heavens and the earth with fire, which the Apostle Peter brings out, okay? When he talks about the eighth day, okay? In that day. That is the eighth day, which is the eternal day, okay, entering into the tenth week, okay, whereas everything shall be destroyed as by fire, the heavens and the earth. So understanding what the plan of God is, okay, and that the Apostle Peter making this known to the saints, okay, we will not covet or lust after evil things, perishables, but we will covet spiritual things, which is his fullness. So we're no longer functioning according to the influence of Moses, not the Ten Commandments or the Beatitudes. Now, the Ten Commandments were given to those of that first covenant, as Jesus spoke the Beatitudes to those under that influence of the first covenant. The Beatitudes were not spoken to the church. They were spoken to the children of Israel. And here, Jesus is bringing to their attention is concerning the state of the soul is more important than sacrifices. As all the prophets validated, even back there to the prophet Samuel, whereas Samuel said to King Saul, okay, at that time, okay, has the Lord as great in burnt offerings and sacrifices and is obeying the voice of the Lord? Now that theme and that mindset was carried by all the true prophets of God, okay, that God desires faith in the heart, okay, more than rivers of blood. Okay, but those who desire rivers of blood will receive the reward, okay, of their choice, as we see in the book of Revelation, okay, where that's why the sun is going to turn to darkness, the moon is going to turn to blood, okay, the stars of heaven are going to fall, okay, and the front of the first place you can see is going to be fire, blood and hail, okay, as also the ocean, when there is the ocean at that point of the first year of the tribulation, the third of the oceans will be turned to blood, and the third of all waters, okay, will be turned to blood, or the third of the fish will die, the third of the ships will be destroyed. Okay, because they chose not the sacrifice of the Lord. So therefore, the Lord is initiating this judgment upon those that deny his sacrifice. All right, let's go back here, verse 23. Which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Okay, now when he says the word here, fills all in all, he's talking about as providing himself, okay, that by his fullness, okay, which has to do with completing the work within you, as Paul says in Philippians, that he which has begun a good work in you will complete it. Okay, completing that work within you, he's providing himself as a point of contact where the thief can't break through nor steal, okay, where the moth can't diminish its value, you know, eat it up, and also where rust won't deteriorate it. That's why Jesus says, set your affections. Okay, as Paul says, set your affection on things above. And Jesus says, said the same thing as concerning where your heart is, there will your treasures be also. As concerning, let your treasures be in heaven. Okay, and that's why should treasures be in heaven? This is what he's telling to the Jewish people. Why are your treasures in heaven? Because can't you see that every time you put your confidence, your aspiration, your principle in things of the earth, that war came and took it away? Famine came and robbed it, and also pestilence stole from you. Okay, pestilence stole your crops and stole your children. Okay, and actually took your life as in war, famine, and pestilence. We see that's the opening, also the opening seals. Okay, that these things were are going to be reissued after time of clemency. Okay, but they're going to be reissued in their fullness, and they're going to take their part. Okay, and each one in their quarter of the earth. Okay, now he says, which is his body, the fullness of him. Now this is the fullness of him, not the fullness of Moses, because Moses didn't have the fullness. Everything was in a portion. Okay, so when Jesus walked into the temple and cast out the money changers, and when he spoke in the treasury there, when he preached in the courts. Okay, of the temple there, everywhere he turned, he would receive a reflection of himself. Okay, he received a reflection of himself, which means everything that was designed within that temple, even the pattern which David received. Okay, Moses received one pattern. Okay, Jesus was now seeing the second pattern, okay, which was in David, okay, which he is also sprang of the seed of David, or the tribe of Judah. Okay, and by this he received a reflection of himself. And that by these two tribes, Levi and Judah, okay, Israel would be preserved and saved. Okay, as John the Baptist came of Levi and Jesus came of Judah. Okay, and it was promised to Levi that through him would become the priesthood, as it was revealed by the angel to the patriarch Levi and confirmed to him through his grandfather Isaac. Okay, and also it was confirmed the same things with Jacob over his own children. Okay, before his passing, there he was in Egypt. Okay, concerning Judah's place and activity among the tribes, okay, and also Levi's place and activity among tribes, that through these two tribes, Israel be saved. Okay, but that was a portion. But Jesus fulfilled this in himself through the order of Melchizedek, that he was both king and priest and prophet. That Jesus fulfilled both these tribes within himself. Okay, so nothing is any longer unfolding in portion. It's all in his fullness. Okay, of his fullness have we received in grace for grace. This is what the Apostle John testified of in chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. Of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. Now here the Apostle Paul is building on that, okay, which John spoke of. Okay, his fullness. Okay, so no more in portions. Okay, not the altar of incense, not the table of display bread, not the meat offerings, the drink offerings, okay, the table of display bread or sacrifices, okay, sheep, oxen, lambs, goats, okay, and turtle doves, okay, and your cereal offerings, okay, that was all in part, and Jesus fulfilled all those things being the Lamb of God. Okay, being he is the peace offering, okay, because as the scriptures say, he is our peace. Okay, so which is his body? The fullness of him that fills all in all. So now we carry his fullness, but only by faith. Okay, his fullness is in the throne, which the Apostle Paul brings out in Hebrews. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, may find grace to help in time of need. There is his fullness. Okay, and by his fullness, we have the perspective of God. Okay, the perspective of Adam is his frailty. The perspective of God is his strength. This is what we overcome by. We overcome by the strength of the Lord. Strengthened with all might, the Apostle Paul said. Okay, being strengthened with all might, which has to do with the Spirit is assisting us by that fullness and by that perspective. Okay, many Christians want God, okay, to provide himself okay, as a point of contact but no responsibility. They want God to do their thinking for them, and they want God to do their bidding for them. And that won't happen. Okay, God has already provided a record for our atonement. Okay, God has already provided a record for our expression of faith. He provided a pattern for the priesthood of Melchizedek, which we're following after. See, we're following after the priesthood of Melchizedek, which has to do with this form of knowledge, this new knowledge, in the Melchizedek priesthood. See, the sacrifices of animals, that tradition passed on through Noah, but the Melchizedek priesthood, okay, came from himself, okay, which has to do with the knowledge, okay, the knowledge of these events and our participation according to these weeks, okay, and that's what we're following, the Melchizedek priesthood. Okay, well, let's go on here, in chapter 2 now. Okay, and you has he quickened, okay, by this fullness now we're made alive, okay, only by this fullness. Okay, now if you read the scripture right here, apart from the experience, this scripture right here this scripture does not promise you the experience. It's the Spirit that gives you the experience. Now many people read the same scriptures we're reading, but they're not experiencing his fullness. Okay, and why aren't they experiencing his fullness? Because they're not in covenant with God. Okay, they're not. What do you mean? What do you mean not in covenant with God? They're not identifying with government. That's the first thing we see throughout all the Bible, throughout all the scriptures, is government. Okay, Jesus established a new government. Okay, through Moses, it was through Judah. Okay, that Judah was going to be the king, and Levi was going to carry on the priesthood. Okay, but through Jesus Christ, okay, he was going to establish government through a whole new system, which he called apostles. Okay, that's why he selected the apostles first. Okay, so that they would carry this tradition and steward that tradition in the hearts of the saints, and that the other callings would also emerge from this. Okay, not to do away with the apostles' office, okay, because to do away with the apostles' office is to do away with the government of Christ. Okay, that's to break the bone. Okay, and as the scripture says, the bone of him should not be broken, which has to do with the severing of government. It's by this government that you have your refuge, okay? And it's by the government of God that you're directed into his fullness. See? So the fullness of him that fills all things, that means those things which the saints must carry, okay, for their priesthood, the gifts, the callings, the grace of God, government, truth, and spirit, prayer, preaching, prophecy, and by this we're made living, okay? And you has he quickened by his fullness now, who were then trespasses and sins. Okay, and trespasses and sins, which means we did not remain within the restrictions, we trespassed. Okay, we trespass God even in our ignorance. Okay, ignorantly passing or intruding into another dimension or another, like passing over somebody else's property. Okay, and sins, which has to do with the fruit that you carried within your soul. Okay, and we which transgress and trespass, transgress has to do the violation of Scripture, and trespassing is going beyond those restrictions. Okay, and because of sins, because of Satan sowing within a heart, okay, and being tethered to the kingdom of darkness, our whole perception was by Satan or through Satan's eyes. Can you imagine looking at the world through Satan's eyes? Looking at the world through Satan's eyes is, yes, where you find all manner of covetousness, wantonness, riotousness, lasciviousness, okay, and also envy, strife, murder, debate, okay, deceit, and all this bitterness. Okay, this is through the eyes of Satan. Satan continually covets because he wants to dominate, and he wants to control, and he wants to destroy. As Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. How does he dominate? He steals faith from your heart. How does he steal faith from your heart? By giving you false knowledge. Okay, he sympathizes with your ignorance. He sympathizes with your passions. He sympathizes with your feelings. Okay, he sympathizes with your aspirations, but he does not sympathize with the record of Christ. Satan sympathized with Jesus deceitfully when he says, "You look very hungry today. Why don't you turn these stones into bread? Okay, satisfy yourself." Now, Jesus didn't do that at Satan's bidding, but we know that Jesus did turn water into wine, but not at Satan's bidding. Okay, Jesus turned the water and wine as a validation of who he was. Okay, but that wasn't part of the record that he was establishing. The record he established was faith, not turning water into wine. If the record was in the physical evidence, see, of a messiahship, then all of us would be going to hell, because if we did not have the powers to turn water into wine, we would then have fallen short of the glory of God. Same thing with walking on water, multiplying bread and raising the dead, casting out devils and cleansing the lepers, giving sight to the blind and hearing to the deaf. Okay, you would be assigned to have to complete all the events, not just what you want. It would have to be everything. Okay, just not what you select or what's beneficial for yourself or what you feel you can make money out of. Okay, as an aspiration. That's why Jesus says, many shall say in that day, Lord, Lord, then we do many wonderful works in your name. In your name cast out devils. And in your name prophesy. We prophesy in your name. Hey, we gave honor unto you through our exhortations. And Jesus says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Okay, so you can see, where was the record established? Was the true sign in the record, or was the true sign in the event? The true sign was in the record, not in the event. But in Jesus' ministry, these signs accompanied him, as the prophet said that would come. Okay, as Enoch the prophet said, and as Moses spoke of, and as Isaiah and the other prophets spoke of this, okay, concerning the ministry of Jesus. Okay, now let's go on here. And you has he quickened. Okay, so we talked about trespasses and sins, what they were. Okay, this is what we're being circumcised from. Okay, we are circumcised from the perception of the flesh. Okay, and the hope of the flesh, which memorial is dust. And being circumcised from that, we are now joined and tethered to the true inheritance, God himself. This is what Abraham understood. Okay, when he believed the Lord. Abraham believed the Lord and was counted him for righteousness. Okay, the believing in the Lord has to do with the testimony that God was establishing in Abraham. Okay, that Abraham's faith, okay, was the record by which we would follow. Okay, well, what did Abraham do? Did Abraham ever cast out a devil? No. Did Abraham ever walk on water? No, he didn't. Okay, did Abraham ever cleanse the leper or raise the dead? Okay, no, Abraham did not initiate any of those things. Yet we are called children of Abraham because of his faith. Now his faith is engaging with God is concerning his patience and long suffering until the time of his joy or fulfillment. That's what makes us as the true children of Abraham. Okay, the false children of Abraham build on precept and projection. Okay, and precept and projection, okay, they use precept and projection as a competitive edge, okay, to rule over one another. And this is what Cain did. Okay, we are not children of Cain, we are children of Abraham. Okay, we are following the path of Abel, a man of faith. Okay, we are following those of Hebrews 11, okay, who did not project for the aspiration, but reflected with faith and patience and heard the promises. Okay, and they waited patiently for them. Okay, and some of the great promises they are still awaiting for, as we are. The precious promises, those things which are assigned at the present time for our pleasure, as well as also the great promises, those things which are reserved for the inheritance, which all of us would be partaking of. You know, all the overcomers partake of those things. As he that overcomes, will I give a new name. He that overcomes, will I give to either tree of life. He that overcomes will not be touched by the second death. Okay. He that overcomes will grant to sit with me in my throne. Okay, I'll give a new name or a white stone. Okay, the hidden manna. Okay, these are as the great promises. Okay, and but those things which are close to us has to do with our pleasure and our joy at this present time in this dimension under this covenant. Okay, as Abraham, he had his joy full when he had Isaac, but he still had to wait patiently to inherit the land. Okay, and God gave him not so much as a square foot in that, as we see testified of there in the book of Acts. Okay, he was assigned a great promise, okay, but he never entered into that because it was something that was going to be carried out through the next generation and generations to come. Okay, and these promises also, the promises which God gave to Abraham, we can see both kinds is also those things which have been assigned to us. Okay, now chapter 2, verse 3, or verse 2. We're in time past. All right, you walked according to the course of this world, which I just discussed here. The course of this world has to do with the signature of man, okay, which is in sympathy for his own survival, okay, and peace and security. His own survival, where comes peace and security. Okay, the peace and security of the flesh is tethered to the things of this world and tethered to Satan. Okay, Satan is a ruler of death. Okay, the ruler of death. Okay, which has to do with he dominates the ignorant. Okay, those outside of covenant. Okay, it's not though just because an individual has an assigned religious format for themselves. Whatever religion is that you're pursuing, it's only those which are in covenant to partaking of the promises. Okay, which has to do with the engaging of the working, intricate working of angels, the work of regeneration, partakers of the Holy Ghost, tasting the good word of God and the powers of the world come. Okay, which the Apostle Paul brings out there. Okay, in Hebrews chapter 6. Okay, and these are things which has to do with that which empowers your faith, gives order of your faith, increases your faith. Okay, the great and precious promises. So we're in time past, okay, when we were still tethered to the kingdom of darkness, okay, which means we are tethered to the aspiration of this world and a memorial of our flesh. Okay, that's part of the God code. Part of the God code is establishing a memorial of your presence, okay, even when you're absent. And now God did this in all creation. He established a memorial of his presence in all things, visible and invisible. Okay, visible and invisible. Okay, as concerning the consistencies of seasons, the path of the moon, path of the sun, the course of the stars. Okay, the fruitfulness of nature, the changing seasons. Okay, the currents, the weather, the air currents, ocean currents. Okay, all these things are being handled by these angels. Okay, which are always establishing a testimony of God's presence, though you cannot see him, yet he is always present. So where in time past you walked? Okay, so the word, might want to underline the word walk there, or highlight the word walked, because the word walk has to do with a form of agreement. Okay, an activity and a form of agreement with things which are sympathetic to our former pattern of thinking, the moral code. Okay, our moral code was designed by God, but then was reformed by man. Okay, it was reformed by man and defiled by sin. Okay, the moral code. Okay, and because of this, okay, the perceptions of people are different from one nation to another nation and from one city to another city. Okay, that's why laws are different. Okay, why even in politics, keep people in the same nation have two different perceptions of how things should be done. That's the moral code speaking. Okay, that's moral code speaking. Even different religions, that's the moral code speaking. Okay, and the moral code is dominating that perception and is being carried forth by the moral center. Okay, so where in time past you walked, these things were agreeable, okay, to your own passion and your intellect. Okay, intellectually are things of great passion. Why do Adamites pursue these things passionately, particularly religion, politics, okay, or whatever it is they choose to do, sports? Okay, that's the God code unfolding through the signature of man, all right, which also is influenced by the moral code. Okay, these are all powers that work upon man, destined an invisible testimony of God. That's an invisible testimony of God, but is not sanctified because it's not used for faith. Okay, God has provided his own Lamb, Jesus Christ, okay, for the record for our faith to be expressed in, so that we now, that the God code with faith, okay, is finding its voice and increase, okay, without objection of God, okay, by the record of Jesus Christ. Okay, just like a tree. Okay, if you look at a tree, okay, that tree only increased because of the God code upon the pattern of the seed. Okay, the seed carries the pattern of the tree, okay, which is the signature of the tree. Okay, the moral code, which is also an empowerment of the Spirit, okay, has empowered the signature of the tree in order for it to increase, Okay, and in order to bring out whatever kind of tree it is, leaves, fruit, and even the seasons. Okay, to react, to grow. So when in time past you walked according to this power, the moral code. Okay, according to the course of this world, the signature of man, and the signature of man was tethered to where? According to the prince of the power of the air. You notice he says the prince of the power of the air, but yet Jude talks about. In the book of Jude, we can see that that the angels which kept not the first estate were cast into great darkness, okay, into hell, okay, or into other forms of judgment. So we can see two groupings of angels here. Okay, Satan was not cast into hell; he was cast out of heaven, but he's in the atmosphere, and he's going to be cast out of the atmosphere into the earth, and he's going to take the form of the dragon, okay, which is a human form. Satan is going to be forced to take a human form. Okay, and God's going to restrict him to that human form so that he will not have transforming powers, that he cannot go from flesh to flame and flame to flesh, okay, as the Watchers could do. Okay, so God is going to greatly restrict Satan's movement at this time, and Satan, in his retaliation, is going to continue to further man's deception, okay, where he's going to deceive the whole world. Okay, he's going to claim that the pattern which he set, okay, is a record for all creation, that he's going to claim to be the oath of the Lord. Okay, he's going to claim to be the voice of the Lord, and he's going to be proclaimed to be the word of the Lord, which you see in John chapter 1, verse 1. Okay, and that's what we call blasphemy, because he's setting the record within his own aspiration, as sinners do today. They set the record of their own aspiration, and they live up to the standard called the principle. And they use that principle, okay, to dominate, to control, okay, or to, you know, or to destroy anything that would assist or resist. Okay, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, or the sinners. He calls them children, because they're carrying on the likeness and image of their father Satan. Okay, darkness is in their heart, darkness is in their understanding. Okay, and everything that they communicate centers upon that ignorance. Okay, it's a pursuit. They're in the pursuit of pleasure, okay? But the righteous, the children of light, are in the pursuit of faith, okay? Following the record, which requires great restraint, okay? And great patience and long-suffering, meekness, okay? And temperance, okay? That's the children of light. But the children of the day are like wild animals, okay? You ever have a wild animal come wandering in your house, okay? A deer just happens to come through your front door, or you know, you leave your doors open, and okay, or a raccoon comes through your pet portal there in the door, okay, and a raccoon comes in, and then suddenly somebody, you know, the door gets shut by accident, or the wind blows it shut, or somebody just walks in behind it. The raccoon, which is wild, which is just searching for food for its own survival, you know, becomes immediately agitated, and it wants to control or the freedom of movement. Okay, and it would devastate everything in order to get through that window or to get out. Okay, and that's the way it is with the children of disobedience. They're like a wild animal in the house. They'll tear apart everything. Okay, they'll tear apart everything. They'll trash everything. Okay, and that's the way the children of the world are. They trash everything. We can see that in social and economically and throughout the whole world. Okay, people that disagree, wild by nature. They're wild by nature. As a brute beast, they will trash anything that they feel is restrictive to their principle, restrictive to their sovereignty. They want to destroy it. That's the children of disobedience. That is also the face of Satan you're looking at. Okay, the pursuit of pleasure, no restriction. That's why Satan was cast out of heaven, because he did not want to conform to the plan of God and receive his reward. He wanted to take a shortcut, and he was also envious that God would give such a gem or a jewel as this earth and this atmosphere in its perfection and beauty. That was before the darkness came on this dimension. Okay, that was before darkness came here. Okay, when you look outside right now, you can say, well, what was it that Satan was so jealous over? Okay, seeing that we have tsunamis and earthquakes and volcanoes and air pollution, water pollution, and death and hell. I mean, death and destruction all over the place. Okay. Well, it wasn't like that. This was a jewel of the universe, the place at the feet of God's throne. Okay, and it was granted to Adam to reign over, okay, and to officiate over, okay, and to have rule. This was a dimension of itself. Okay, Adam was assigned a dimension of itself, and Satan was jealous of that. Okay? Instead of working with Adam, he was going to contend with Adam. In verse 3, so all the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had a conversation, our lifestyle was centered upon that pleasure. Okay, the pleasure of to dominate, to control, or to destroy. Okay? You see it, like I said, you can see it in every place, everywhere you look, every television program or every movie. All right, carries that mindset. Okay, even in so-called relationships, romance stories. Okay, why is it that romance stories, develop and are destroyed? Because you're putting two gods or two different kingdoms together. Okay, and they both want to dominate. They want to control or to destroy. Okay, that means to resolve one's passion or resolve one's sovereignty to establish their own. Okay, that's what Satan did. You notice God didn't do that. When God came into this dimension, he was in the form of the flesh, subject to angels, okay, and was humbled with his own creation. Yet he wouldn't even violate the will of his own creation, that he submitted himself to those that even punched him, cursed on him, spit on him, and crucified him. That's what God did. Okay, verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation times past, okay, in the lust of the flesh. Yeah, we talked about that in the Epistle of John. Okay, the lust of the flesh has to do with the pursuit of one's passions and pleasure and emotion, emotional security. Okay, and the fulfillment of the desires of the flesh and of the mind, which is also the lust of the eyes. Okay, intellectual prowess. Okay, people of this world always want to gain the edge over other people. Okay, so they pursue that according to their own signature, and they want to dominate and set policy by their own signature. The intellectual want to dominate the intellectual world. Okay, the passionate want to dominate the passionate world. Okay, passionate. Okay, concerning the arts, you notice that you have arts and sciences, the humanities. Okay, even in your colleges. Okay, which address these two forms of expression. Okay, the passionate, the arts. Okay, and then you have the sciences, okay, the discovery, to set order, everything set order for the purpose of increasing for one's pleasure, okay. And people think of pleasure as concerning lots of money, okay, so that they can rule, okay, they can rule over, or their passions can be doted upon without restriction, okay. This is the way of the prince of this world, okay. So among whom also we all had our conversation times past. Paul said, we also were subject to this. Okay, our perception of life was from Satan's perspective. We saw things only through his eyes. And Paul said, when I saw things through Satan's eyes, okay, I started killing Christians. Okay, I want to dominate them. I was offended that they would stand against my religion. They were a cult. Or Christians began their own culture apart from ours. Okay, a cult, okay, is a short form for culture or establishing another lifestyle. Which was a spin-off from another lifestyle, a dominant lifestyle. Okay, and every culture today is a spin-off from another. Okay, and every culture today is a spin-off from Adam. Okay, so every culture today is actually a cult. Okay, and it's a cult to the 10th degree. Okay, which means that we have societies within societies. Okay, custom people practicing customs and traditions within other countries. Okay, so we can see that everything has been acculturated by the kingdom of darkness. Okay, and but the kingdom of darkness uses man's ignorance, okay, his philosophies of life, which is the moral code, in order to dominate or to set himself apart as special over other people. Okay, and by doing that, they war with other people. Okay, Satan takes advantage of man's ignorance, and then God uses one society against another in order to bring his judgments. Among whom also we all had our conversation times past, okay, in the lust of flesh, the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, okay, the flesh again, the passionate, the mind, the intellectual, and were by nature, look what he says here in verse 3, by nature, the signature of man was molded and was hostile against God. It wanted to maintain its independent sovereignty without any responsibility. Okay, and you see this in children. particularly as they're growing up. They want to dominate their parents. They want to control the environment. They want to dominate, or they want to make the decisions to accept or reject. Okay, they don't want to eat their spinach or their broccoli. Okay, but they want to eat their chocolates. Okay, that's the sovereignty. Okay, that's the sovereignty of their signature. Okay, that wants to dominate. Okay? The choices are that which is pleasurable. Okay, so it's easier for the signature man to follow the path of pleasure, which Satan will rule in. Okay, because the covetousness is the absence of faith. Okay, pleasure is also the absence of, you can say the absence of temperance. Okay, because the pursuit of pleasure, will dominate. And control one's thinking. Okay, they want to dominate. They want to rule with that. You see that in every kingdom. Okay, like King Midas. Okay, the story of King Midas was pleasure. Okay, and it was his own pleasure that entrapped them. By nature, the children of wrath, even as others, we were all grouped together, all societies, all peoples, all races, all kindreds, and all tongues. Okay, as we can see in the book of Genesis, is concerning the building of Babylon or Babel, which now became known as Babylon. Okay, was dominated by a man named Nimrod. Okay, who was using his position in association with the Watchers and using sorcery, and engaging in to dominate, to rule the whole world until God came down and gave different languages, to people, to where there couldn't be, unification, for their economic growth. So God did that in order to, God put that mischief upon Nimrod's, aspirations. And God is still doing the same thing today. Okay, mischiefs upon Adam's aspirations, so that Adam would then begin to seek the Lord and come into covenant with God, and then God would care for them. Okay, just like God cared for Israel after they came out of Egypt. Okay, they were children of faith when it was testified of the Lord, through the through Balaam's prophecy. Okay, Balaam prophesied concerning these people that he found no iniquity in them, and there was a king among them, which it means Christ. Okay, Christ rules those of faith. Okay, and his prophecies that he dropped against Israel, were non-productive. Okay, they were non-productive. No matter what he said, it could not work against those of faith. So we see two different kingdoms here. Okay, those who God is officiating over, by the rhythm of the spirit, and those which Satan is officiating over, the rhythm of the flesh. Okay, the flesh is death unto death, the spirit life unto life. Okay, now verse 4 here. But God, who is rich in mercy. Now when he says God, which means the spirit, rich in mercy, the word rich in mercy has to do with abundant contact. Okay, because his mercy is in his tools. Okay, God's involvement in your life, because of your faith, that's his mercy. But God's indirect involvement in your life is called his compassion. And he is a God of great compassion and great mercy. Okay, because now he's compassionate upon the just and the unjust. Okay, as concerning the involvement to keep, social equity, or economic equity. You notice that was the land of Canaan before the children of Israel came there. When the children of Israel came into the promised land, it was not a desolate, burnt out place. Okay, it wasn't like it didn't look like it was just bombed, or blown up. It wasn't rubble. Okay, there were stately buildings. Okay, there were castles. Okay, there were rivers. Okay, hills flowing with milk and honey. Okay, places, vineyards that were rich in oil, olive. Okay, and figs. It was God established and blessed the land, whereas the giants lived there. The watchers were there. Okay, and the watchers were attributing the prosperity of the land to their philosophies, which the sinners believed. Because, well, it must be right, because everything that the watchers have said concerning this land is true. Okay, and that's what the beast is going to do during tribulation. The beast is going to try to take credit for anything that's of a beneficial nature to man, and he's going to create the false millennium during the time of the tribulation, which the two witnesses are going to continue to interrupt when they call plagues down from heaven and withhold the rain. It's going to frustrate the activities of the watchers and the beast. okay, who are going to try to establish a false millennium to try to lay claim to the promises concerning the ninth week themselves. They're going to try to create the ninth week and the seventh week. And as usual, they're always out of step with God, okay, and to keep the people in a state of confusion and out of step with God, because they're walking according to the power of the air. But God, who was rich in mercy, a point of contact. Now, how was he rich in mercy? He was rich in mercy by providing us a point of contact. Who was this point of contact? Jesus Christ. We'll see that in verse 5. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, it wasn't because of our sin that he loved us, because he provided a covenant for that, to rectify that. The great love has to do with concerning his involvement in fellowship and the preparation to the things that he has planned and inheritance for us. He says, I have a lot of things planned for you, and I'm making these things known. I made these things known through the mouth of all the prophets since the beginning of the world. I gave you volumes of books to read about this plan of mine. I gave you volumes of books to read, so that each prophet that I chose and selected to reveal this thing to gave you a portion of this and a portion of that. One prophet gave you a portion of the seventh heaven in this manner. Another prophet gave you portions of the different heavens in this manner. As Abraham, and as Enoch, and as Isaiah, and as Moses. Each prophet gave a different perspective, not contradictory, but adding another piece to the puzzle, like a 1,000-piece puzzle. 1,000 prophets contributed by the revelation of God one piece to that puzzle. He says, I gave you many books to read, concerning my plan. So that's his great love. He's given us all this knowledge for the purpose of clarifying so that we can set a path to seek God and work righteousness, that we would abandon wickedness and work righteousness. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, providing all these resources wherewith he loved us, because everything that was prophesied was a picture of himself. Even when we were dead in sins, dead in sins, which has to do with that we were in ignorance and we are dominated by passion, and by our own aspects and our own fear. Remember, if the when you're dominated by darkness, you're continually living unto death, which means you're always preparing, for the worst. But when you're living as concerning righteousness, you're always preparing for the promise, the best. Even when we are dead in sins, here he says, and trespasses and sins, or sins and trespasses there in Colossians. Even when we are dead in sins, has he quickened us together? How? With Christ. That's his great love. He provided an abundance of material for reading material, but not to replace faith, but rather to assist your faith. So by providing this material, the scribes were assigned by God in order to preserve this, writing it in different languages, preserving it in different caves, different libraries, and different vaults, different nations, so that anybody set to seek the Lord, would have access to these things, so that they can begin to see that there is hope in God. Because everything that was written was a testimony of God himself, written in the stars, written in nature, written in the hearts, written in the books. Even when we are dead in sins, has he quickened us together with Christ, which means he made us alive. Quickened, which has to the empowerment of understanding and faith. And how do we know this? Because it says here, by grace you're saved. He empowered us by this grace. Verse 6, and has raised us up together, which means raising up together has done that. Now we're associating with him who is raised from the dead, sitting at the right hand of God. He says right here, raised us up together, made us sit together, which means it's a place of rest. It's a place of rest. And has raised us up together, which means taking us from all fours, and we're now walking uprightly as Christ rose from the dead. That we are no longer inactive, but now we are active. When you're asleep in sin, you're inactive from the activity of the world. But when you wake up, you become active interactive there with the world. And when we are all connected to sin, we are inactive to God. But when Jesus rose from the dead, we now became interactive with the kingdom of God in heaven. We became interactive with that, called fellow citizens of the saints in heaven. Okay, as Hebrews says, and has raised us up together and made us sit together, which is a place of our rest. Our rest, okay, is our labor. We labored into our rest. Okay, together in heavenly places in Christ. So our activity in a place of mercy, it's called the throne of mercy, is in heaven. Okay, it has nothing to do with the things of the things of this earth, which are spoiled and corrupted. Okay, but the things which are eternal, unspoiled, untouched. Okay, in paradise. That's raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Okay, now he says the word here, in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, is because it's through this that we are overcoming. Okay, as gold overlays the wood. Okay, as gold overlays the wood. So we underline the word Christ Jesus, and over the word Christ put the word gold, and over the word Jesus put the word wood. Okay, Jesus was hung on a wood. He did not hang on the gold, he hung on a wood. Okay, he hung on that frame because he was the frame of that altar. Jesus is our altar, see? Okay, and then Christ is a gold which overlays the altar, which shows the divine work because Jesus rose from the dead. Okay, so now he's establishing us a place of activity and a place of rest. All right, why? That in the ages to come. Now you notice this, that God is patiently awaiting the time of this appointment. Okay, in the ages to come, that all things would be put into one form of time. All ages, okay, all ages, all weeks, we put into one age. One portion of time is one day, so that there'd be no more time. Okay, eternity. Then ages to come, he might show the exceeding great riches of his grace, which we brought out in chapter 1 there. Okay, the riches of his grace. Okay, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Okay, and the riches, again, has to do with the value which the Spirit puts upon it. All right, the value which the Spirit puts upon it far exceeds that which the carnal mind puts upon it. Okay, because the carnal mind emphasizes those things which they feel will only profit or benefit or advance themselves for the honor of man. Okay, but here God emphasizes the riches of his grace, which God honors that because it advances the soul and his likeness, and he rewards that, he identifies with that, he sympathizes with that, he honors that, as we see in Revelation. May glory and honor and power and thanksgiving okay, be unto the Lamb. That's a reciprocation of what he put within us. Right, then in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There it is again, Christ Jesus. Okay, so Paul is putting it in his form, showing that it's because of the riches of his grace. Okay, through Jesus, this thing was made available to us. Okay, and that the ages to come, he's going to show us the reward of that. Okay, through Christ Jesus, for by grace are you saved through faith. Okay, there it is, the word grace again. What is grace? Okay, we brought that out in the first chapter. Okay, but it has to do with a form of revelation, which brings illumination and enlightenment. Enlightenment to the mind, revelation, enlightenment, and enlightenment to the mind for obedience. Okay, it's a form of knowledge. Okay, so if we were to put this in a capsule, okay, we call the capsule grace, and the things which contains is wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, which has to do with revelation, okay, and which has to do with enlightenment, because it's from without. It's knowledge from another world, all right, it's wisdom from another dimension, okay, it's understanding from the kingdom of heaven. Okay, so for by grace are you saved. That's our destiny. Okay, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, faith is a word which God has assigned to this form of activity that transpires through the impact of grace. Okay, but in a positive way for obedience. He says, I'm going to call that faith. This meets my expectation. Okay, because faith is the absence of aspiration. Okay, and truth is the absence of principle. Okay, and temperance is the absence of covetousness. Okay, we're going to finish up this one verse here. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Okay, which means it did not originate from our own passion. It did not originate from our own intellect. Its presence is not in sympathy with our aspiration, nor our principle. That's what he says, it's that not of yourselves. It's from without. Okay, it's not from within your signature. We are not born with faith, but we are born again with faith. Okay, that which is without. Okay, the word saved right there has to do with salvage. to restore, to remodel, okay, to make new again. Okay, God is reinventing your experience, okay, for his kingdom. This is the gift of God.